Is it on? Say testing.
Testing.
But don't you can't reach down. Okay. Pastor will get it. Okay.
So many questions the world is reaching. So many hurting, so many lost. With all this striving, who can we lean on? Creation's crying out from the dark. I know the answer to every question, the one solution.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3. He is the answer. And that is the truth.
A man was walking through the zoo when he saw a little girl leaning into a lion's cage. Suddenly, the lion grabbed her by the cuff of her jacket and tried to pull her inside and devour her right there in front of her screaming parents. The man ran to the cage and hit the lion square on the nose with a powerful punch. Feeling the pain, the lion let go of the little girl and jumped back away from the man while the man returned her to her terrified parents. A reporter saw the entire thing, the whole scene unfold there, and he said, "Sir, this was the most gallant and brave thing I've ever seen in my entire life." "Why, it was nothing," said the man. "Really, the lion was behind bars, and I just acted as I felt was right." "I noticed a Bible in your pocket. Are you a Republican?" he asked. "Yes, I'm a Christian on my way to a Bible study," the man replied. "Well, I'll make sure this won't go unnoticed. I'm a journalist, and tomorrow's paper will have on the front page about this incident." The following morning, the man bought a paper to see if it indeed brought news of his actions and read on the front page, "Right-wing Republican Christian fundamentalist assaults African immigrant and steals his lunch." I hope you get and understand. That's not far
from the way some reporting is done today in the liberal media, unfortunately. And yet there are many people that watch the news and believe a majority of what's shared there. And the reason that they do so is they don't know any different. They don't know the truth of what actually took place or what was said, etc. It makes me sick sometimes to hear some of the things that are twisted. And when you hear the real story of truth of what was said in the context of how it was said and what was done, and then you hear how they spin it, it's a wonder that you would want to watch the news at all. But why is it that some Christians are still tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine? And the answer is because they don't know any different. They don't know the truth of what God has actually said. We have been studying here. We started last week a two-part message dealing with the reasons why it is important to study the Word of God and to learn the truth of God's Word. I've told you for many years and stressed with you the fact that you cannot do what you do not know. You got that? If I don't teach you anything else, you cannot please God if you don't know what's pleasing to Him. And so you've got to learn God, you've got to learn His commands, you've got to learn what He has said in His principles, lest you're just taking a chance that you might get it right. And so as believers, we need to know, we need to learn the truth of God's Word. Both reading and studying the Word of God is so greatly important. Father, I pray that as we pause to look in Your Word this morning, that You would impress upon us even more so the importance of Your Word to our lives today and the importance of us putting forth the effort, the energy, the time, the resources to be able to make Your Word part of our mind, that we may not only know it but understand how it applies to us. Father, as we are in this process of growing, may we continue to be able to please You better by the responses to Your Word that we give. Father, I pray that You would help me right now as I seek to communicate Your Word, that I would do it both correctly, clearly, and Father, in such a way that would bring correction to our lives where needed. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We began last week at looking at the first of three categories of reasons why we should study the Word of God. We saw in the first category there, it is a productive instruction to our minds. God's Word is our weapon against the devil's lies, as we saw last week. Scripture fortifies our mind, and by the way, you remember that it is our mind is the battleground in which most of temptation takes place and the decisions to serve the Lord and surrender to the Lord, etc. So it is Scripture that fortifies our mind with the truth of God's Word to be able to identify and resist and disarm Satan's scheming attacks of weaponry. Secondly, we notice that in Psalm 119, verse 11, God's Word helps us to avoid sin. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And thirdly, we saw it is with God's Word that we are to renew our minds. Getting into the Word of God, both decreasing our exposure to the world, the flesh, and the devil's influence that is there, and increasing our exposure to the truth of God's Word, that it may change the way that we think to be more like God thinks. And today I want us to see the second category and the third. The second category of reasons why to study the Word of God is because it is profitable instruction to our minds. Here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 16, we have a very familiar passage that shares with us. It says actually three P's in this particular presentation here. In verse 15, it says, "And that from a child," this is Paul speaking to young Timothy there, it says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures,
which are able, that means it is powerful, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We have here this truth that is given concerning the Word of God, that from a child, Timothy had been taught the Word of God. We have an indication of that. If you back up a page there into chapter 1 and in verse 5 there, it says, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that is the genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, there which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." There's an indication that Timothy's mother and grandmother were very instrumental in teaching the Word of God, the Scriptures, unto young Timothy from a child there, and that from a child he had known the Scriptures, which were able, which were powerful, into doing what? It says there, in bringing him into an understanding of what salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. They are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. And so we have here the Word of God is powerful to bring an understanding of salvation. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. That's the majority, if not all of us, here this morning. And so the Word of God, specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power of God to bring salvation, because it brings us to the understanding that we must put our faith, our trust, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. So we have here this power that is given to us through the gospel, God's Word, that can bring salvation to a person's life. Can I say just for a moment, most of this, the message today and last week, is dealing with believers, those that have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But right here, God is saying, and if you're here today and you're not sure that you are going to heaven, that you are right with God because you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is when you need to get that settled. I'm not asking you, do you believe in God? I'm not asking you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you believe in the facts of history that He was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. But I'm asking you, have you come to the understanding that because of your sin, what He did on Calvary there was done to pay the penalty, death, that separated you and separates you from God, and to settle that payment completely, and by faith you made a decision to choose to receive what He did to be your payment of sin. That's when salvation takes place. That's the only thing that salvation is, and you need to make that choice before you leave today if you're unsure of where you stand. Don't put it off any longer. Not only do we see that it's the power of God's Word is powerful there, but it is, in verse 16, profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, notice it says, all Scripture is, not Scriptures are. It is as a whole, as a complete package that is there. You can't pick and choose. There's not some that is and some that ain't, so to speak, but there's all of it from Genesis 1:1 right on to the end of Revelation. Every word of God is inspired. It is produced by God, if you will, and is profitable for those four things that are given to us there. Scripture is profitable. In fact, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 that holy men, that is the prophets and the others that wrote there the Old Testament Scriptures, it was speaking about primarily there, but it's true of all of God's Word, they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved along. They were guided in exactly what they were to write, and God controlled that. And so we see that Scripture, all Scripture, is God-produced. And it is profitable for doctrine. That's simply the teachings. If we wish to know we believe and why we believe it, we need to know the teachings of God's Word, the Scriptures. So we've been trying to finish up here on Sunday nights with our adult Bible study, going through systematic theology. We're almost at the end of it. And it has been an eye-opener of understanding far as looking at the details of not only what we believe, but why do we believe it? May I say this to you, don't you ever talk to someone else and tell them what you believe and they ask you, why do you believe that? Don't you ever say you believe it because the pastor said so. That has no authority. Our authority is right here in this inspired book by God. And we believe what it says because it said it, God said it, not because pastor said it, or we've always been taught that, etc. We need to know not only what we believe, we need to know why we believe it, and to do that, we must study God's Word. It is not only good for doctrine, but for reproof. The word reproof means to confront with evidence. The evidence is the Word of God again, and the Word of God is the best confrontator in the world. It is the one that can pierce right to down to the facts of what's going on in our life there. And so we have the Word of God as the evidence that can confront us. God confronts us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word there, and He brings conviction in our life. Do you know that most of the reproof that takes place in the Christian's life takes place right here in a service like this, sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God? God, through the Holy Spirit, can use that to speak to you. Do you know that there's been so many times that people have said, hey, who told the pastor what's going on in my life? And I don't know all the things that are going on in your life, but God lays a certain message upon my heart, and I bring the truth of that message to you here, and the Holy Spirit of God takes that, and He nails it just to where you need it, because there's not a one of you that are sitting in here today or on any given Sunday that is here without a purpose that God has for you in this service. And He can take through the Word of God that is given, and He can bring to your mind and to your life exactly what you need for that day, if you are looking and listening and you are ready to respond. God can do that and will do that. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof, the confronting. It's good for correction. That's to show us how to get right with God. Once we have been confronted with the truth and the evidence there that shows us where we are wrong, then He can show us how to get right with the Lord. And instruction in righteousness, how to live in a righteous, godly manner. It's been said, and I like this, the way it's presented, that doctrine tells us what is right, reproof tells us what is not right, and when we're not right, and correction tells us how to get right, and instruction tells us how to stay right. I believe that's the truth, and that's what God's Word is for, and it is profitable to accomplish that. God's Word will accomplish that which He has intended. And then thirdly, we see in that P there, is verse 17, it is purposeful. It says that. When you see the word that, so often it is a purpose clause that is coming in that statement there. It is for this purpose, that, so that the man of God, the Christian that he's talking about here, may be perfect. The word means complete there, entire, mature, in spiritual understanding, etc. Truly furnished. That means fully equipped unto all good works. We can take the Word of God. God can take the Word of God, and He can put it in our minds and lives in such a way that He can make us more into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the perfect goal in which He has for every one of us, the mark that is set before us that we are to be pursuing. And as we push toward that mark that He has for us, that's called our sanctification. What He is trying to do from the day we're saved until the day we die, the rapture takes place. God is working in our life to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would be complete, perfect, entire.
not lacking even in everything that we need to do good works, that we may be fruitful in our good works. That's so that our light can so shine. I shared Wednesday night with our group here about a little girl that learned in Sunday school about let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And the next week in Sunday school, she had an altercation with another student, and to the point that the parent had to be called into the class. And her mother came and says, "Honey, don't you remember what you learned last week in Sunday school about letting your light shine before others?" And she looked at her mom and she said, "I blowed my light out." And how we're reminded about don't let Satan get out. We need to make sure we don't let the flesh blow out our light, or the world blow out our light, and we're certainly not to let the devil blow out our light. We are to have our good works to let others see and glorify our Father, which is in heaven there. It is purposeful that we would be complete and fully equipped for our good works. God's Word is powerful, it is profitable, and it is purposeful. It is greatly beneficial to you and to me, and we need to study it. There's a third category that I want to leave with you, and it has a general subject that I could probably have worked it into three whole messages here, but I've cut it down just to three parts here. It's a practical instruction for our lives. First of all, in Psalm 119, you remember in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're told in Psalm 119, verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word." God's word gives us direction. And it is God's word that can lead us and guide us to do what is pleasing to Him and beneficial for us. God desires to guide us, and He's chosen to use His word to do it. One commentator wrote this. He said, "In times of crisis, some have randomly flipped to a verse of Scripture, hoping to find a word of direction, as one might seek to know the future through the opening of a fortune cookie. But it is not in the moments of desperation that we should decide to turn to that light on any more than we would drive for miles in the dark, waiting to turn on our car's headlights only after we've already crashed into something." God never intended His people to wait for an emergency situation in order to consult His Word, but to walk daily in the light of it. I hope you get that understanding there. It's not until we wait, we've tried everything else, and we don't know what's working, and then we start looking to God and praying to God and searching His Word. But for us as believers, we need to be in His Word on a daily basis. Otherwise, we're walking in darkness, hoping to find His will, His direction for our life. Some Christians, I believe, don't even consider what God may have for them on a given day. It never crosses their mind to wonder, what would God have me to do today? But if we're in God's Word, He is seeking to communicate that to us. And we can have that direction given to us. Psalm 27:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Lead me in a plain path by teaching me your way. Our theme verse up here, Psalm 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." I hope that would be true of each one of us as we learn the truth of God's Word, that we would walk in that truth. It's a practical fact, as I said a while ago. We can jump off of this one as well. You can't walk in the truth that you don't know.
we've got to study God's Word. Not only is it practical by giving us direction, but it's practical because God's Word prepares us to give an authoritative reason for what we believe and what we do. You remember in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to anyone, any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, and do it with meekness and fear." Be ready always to give an answer to anyone that asks a reason. Why do you believe that? Why do you do that in your life? And it ought to be a Bible-based reason. It ought to be backed with the authority of Scripture. God's Word gives us that. As I said a while ago, we're not to just know what we believe, but we're to know why we believe it. Be ready to give an answer. The word answer is the word where we get the word apologetics. It means to defend the faith there. We ought to be able to defend what we believe and what we do, and we ought to be able to defend it by Scripture. This is why we do it. To your children, parents, you ought to be able to answer why we believe something or why we do something based on Scripture. You know, there's a time in an emergency situation because they ought to do what you say because you said it. Okay? And they need to learn that. But there are other times that you need to teach them the why I want you to do it that way. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to be in church? Why do we need to do these things that we do? Because God gives us an answer, a reason. And it's real, and it's good, and it's authoritative for our life. We ought to obey it. We ought to be able to give that answer with meekness and fear. The word fear means or carries the idea of respect. Do you know that you ought to be able to give an answer when somebody's asking you why? Not in order to win an argument, but in order to win a soul. I'm not interested in trying to win an argument with another person. But if I can give them an answer for them to see why Jesus Christ has made a difference, that might can change a soul. So God's Word is a practical instruction because it gives direction. It gives us authoritative reasons for what we believe and why we do what we do. And in Hebrews chapter 4, if you'll flip over there, this last one here, so we can better understand ourselves. We can better understand ourselves. In Hebrews 4, in verse 12, it says there, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." All right, the word quick there is kind of what we have under our fingernails there. It's alive, and that's what the word means there. "It is alive, it is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." What is all that talking about? Here it comes down to the crux of it there. "It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." All right, the heart there being both our mind, our emotions, our feelings, everything about us there could be included in that particular aspect of it. God's Word is a discerner. It opens, reveals what our thoughts and our intents are of our heart, of ourself. You know that Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Have you ever heard somebody say, "You should trust your heart"?
We need to be careful to understand that God says our heart cannot always be trusted.
We need to understand that our feelings can always be trusted. Remember, we have a flesh, a worldly flesh, and it feels and it wants. But the things that it feels and wants are not always good things. Matter of fact, most of the time they're not. So the Word of God then becomes a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our mind, emotions, all of us there. Our thoughts are the things that we are conscious of in our thinking of our mind. The intents, though, are our motives that may be revealing there. And you know, we're not always understanding of what our own motives are. But God certainly is. And His Word can reveal them. The thoughts and the intents. Notice verse 13 there. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, open there in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." There's nothing that is hid from God. He knows everything there is to know about you. Every thought that you have, He sees it, He hears it, as if you said it directly to Him, as well as everything that you do and actually say. He is aware of it all. And His Word discerns all of that and can reveal to us. So this is the desire that we should have. It's found in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, where David writes there, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God, I know that Your Word is a discerner of my thoughts and of my motives even. I know Your Word can reveal to me where I am wrong. It can confront me. And it can lead me how to get right with You. And it can teach me how to stay right with You. And if we have the desire to say, "Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Point out to me where I'm deficient," then He will show us through His Word that truth. He will confront our hearts. And then He can lead us in the way everlasting. He can lead us to deal with it the way that He desires. If we're willing to see, if we're willing to submit, He's willing to reveal. Is that you today? Every head bow, please. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about the importance of studying God's Word. Could I ask you, Christians, those that have trusted Christ as Savior, are you convinced that studying God's Word is important? I believe if I asked you to raise your hand for that, that every one of you would probably raise your hand and say, "I believe that studying God's Word is important." But here is the question that I really want you to answer. I don't want you to answer it for me. I want you to answer it for you. God already knows the answer to this one, as He does all of them. Have you been studying God's Word obediently? Not do you know it's important to do it, but have you been studying God's Word obediently?
What is the answer that you have to answer before God today? Here's the next question. Will you right now commit to spending more time, energy, and resources to study His important word? He knows what you're thinking your answer is right now as well. And guess what? He sees right through the devil's excuses that the devil's putting in your mind right now as to why you can't study His word. God has commanded every one of us to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, because we're rightly dividing God's word. It's a command to put forth the effort to do that. Will you obey His command today? Believer, is it time to recommit to studying more? And as I mentioned a while ago, this message has been primarily for those that have trusted Christ. If you're here today and you are concerned that maybe you have misunderstood what that means, do not take a chance that you're okay. Let's make sure that you have a proper understanding of what that salvation offer is all about. Can we help you with that today? As we close here in this invitation, I invite whether you're a believer and you need to come to the altar here and commit to further wanting to get into God's Word. It doesn't mean that you haven't been doing it at all. Don't feel like that people are going to think that. I'm more concerned about the ones that don't respond at all because I don't know what's going on there. But you respond as God leads you. And if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're unsure, well, you come forward and let us have someone take you aside and show you how to do that before you leave today to make sure. Don't take the chance. Father, I pray right now that you would deal with our hearts, our minds, our lives, and that we would not listen to the devil in trying to excuse away why we should not respond. Lord, that we would respond in such a way that would please you, because you do know our hearts, that we may be led by your word day by day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. David? 316 is the hymn in which we're going.